Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Just when we thought we were out, they pulled us back in. Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com.
Well, hey, how about that?
How are we doing, sir?
How are you today?
We're doing good, staying dry. Always ready to run. I was just saying, just when we thought we were out, they pulled us back in.
Well, I know I would have. Hey, let's go with the winning formula.
Right.
Hey, you see, the Ryan Howard got signed to a minor league contract by the Atlanta Braves.
Did not see that.
Just announced it today, as a matter of fact.
That plays his cards right, does well. He can be able to play in the new ballpark later in the year, fingers crossed.
I would think the idea for them is to put him through some sort of extended spring training and then maybe in a month have him up and playing. I think that'd be terrific.
I wonder how many American League teams were interested in him and you know plunk him as a DH.
You know, that's what's interesting. That's a great question. That is a great question. I don't know. Because that you would think that would be the route to go. I mean, why put yourself out there playing first base again, where you could be a DH and have a nice, soft life like we do in radio? I mean, seriously. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, I don't know. It's a... it must be... Boy, I'll tell you, it must be really interesting for him after going through... everything with the Phillies all those years to now sit there and you're with a completely different club. That must be a completely different feel. Yeah, so. All right. The Phillies are playing the Reds right now, correct? That game's going on right now?
That is correct. They're currently in the bottom of the seventh inning. A couple innings back, it was 4-4. The Reds have now extended their lead. It's now 7-4 Reds in the bottom of the seventh. Currently can be heard live on 1070 AM, and once the network wraps up, they will put our show on 1070 AM. So in the meantime, we're currently live at WKOK.com, but the great thing is later we will have the exclusive... Well, let's say exclusive, but we'll have the full 2 hours on our podcast.
So we're only on the internet right now.
Currently only on the internet at WKOK.com.
All right, well, then I've got a few complaints. Since we're not over the air.
But we're worldwide now.
That's okay, even better. I've got some complaints. See, Don Rickles passed away. See that?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Loved all those nights when he was in the chair next to Johnny Carson, next to David Letterman, part of the Dean Martin roasts.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mr. Warmth.
Oh, Mr. Warmth. Calling people hockey pucks. Oh, my goodness.
Remember his 70s sitcom, CPO Sharky.
Yes. Love CPO Sharky. No, I didn't. I hardly ever watched it. hardly ever watched it. But, yep. He was, here's one for you. Do you remember the movie Kelly's Heroes?
Oh, yes.
He's in that. He's in Kelly's Heroes.
Not to be confused with Hogan's Heroes. Different.
No, Kelly's here. Clint Eastwood, Donald Sutherland, Telly Savalas, Don Rickles, where the theme, the premise is that these American soldiers, right, it's after D-Day, so now they're going through France, and they decide that there's this gigantic bank behind enemy lines. And so the entire premise is that this rogue group of American soldiers is going to rob it. They're going to go get the gold. Bars of gold inside this bank. I'm going to assume it's in Germany. All right? They've done a lot of scouting where it is, and they figured out it's not heavily guarded because it's behind lines. So they start going through in this movie, and they start plowing through enemy lines to get there. I mean, they got to fight their way to get there. And as they fight their way to get there, there's a lot of radio contact and so forth as to where they are, what they're doing.
That's right. Don's character was Crap Game. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker, he is the general. And he's listening to this on the radio. He says, I'm going to pin a medal on every one of these guys. Because they've been kind of trying to slog their way through through the countryside, and it hasn't been easy. Well, these guys go out. I think the film came out in, 1970 or something like that.
You are correct. I found an old movie poster. Kelly's Heroes. They set out to rob a bank, but damn near won a war instead.
Right. And what they do is that they want to get the gold. Well, they need a tank, and Donald Sutherland, whose character I believe is Oddball. Does that sound right? Who's always, no negative waves, man. No negative waves. He has the tank. Now, in the end, you know what he does with the tank? He trades it for a German tank, including some of his gold, because he's Oddball. And so they need the tank because they need to blow the doors off the building to get in. And they keep going along the way, and they fight their way through to get there. They have to destroy a German railway depot. They have to capture a bridge. At one point, the American fighter is so far behind enemy lines, an American fighter plane mistakes their group, and they try to kill them. They can't. And finally, they get there, and they finally look at, and they finally decide that the only way to get into the bank, the only way to do it, is to actually use the Panzer, the German Panzer tank that's stationed in front. So they decide the only way to do that is to negotiate the capitalist way. They offer the German tank commander a cut. And in the end, Crap Game, which is Don Rickles, who passed away, that's how this topic came up. He's the one that counts out all the shares of gold. The movie ends with them taking off, if I recall, and then Carol O'Connor getting a hero's welcome, and they think he's Charles de Gaulle. So. One of those typical 60s, 70s all-star casts. Clint Eastwood, Telly Savalas, Don Rickles, Carol O'Connell, Donald Sutherland, Gavin McLeod. I mean, pretty good. Not bad. But Don Rickles did pass away today. And then, oh, what was he? Oh, Rickles was also in the movie Casino. Remember that one?
Oh, that's right. That was the one with Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone. And Robert De Niro.
Yep.
Well, Rickles plays a very serious role in that. He is De Niro's right-hand man at the casino. Very serious role. All right, we'll take a break. Great to have everybody online with us today. We're doing the show as we always do it. Sean's back from a non-extradition country as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to be with you today. We start out today's show on the internet, where Sean has broken all sorts of FCC rules, but we're just not going to get into that. I've got your back. They'll never know you did it.
Cool. Breaking the law.
You probably have never even had a traffic ticket.
Oh, I got a good one for you. This actually happened yesterday. I shouldn't even be telling this.
That didn't start out well.
Well, my wife and I went to Philly for a couple of days, and we were on our way back yesterday. And we were hopping off of 95 to get on the northeast extension of the turnpike. And the app that I was using on my phone kept saying, stay in left lane, stay in left lane. Well, I was too far over into the left lane. Well, guess what? I was in the easy pass lane, and I didn't get to a toll terminal to get my ticket, which I would need to hop off at the Pocono exit to get on Interstate 80. So I get
so I get a
lovely fine of $49.05. Where the extra 5 cents goes to, I have absolutely no clue. So the guy in the booth was kind enough to give me a piece of paper and said, "Well, you can fight it if you want. You have 90 days to turn it in and, you know, just plead your case." And so, but that was the first time I was down there since they did a whole bunch of construction within the last year or two. And had I been at least in the right lane, I could have been able to dodge into the terminal and get my ticket, but I couldn't move over because I was in the far left lane and there was an 18-wheeler to my immediate right. So there's no way I could turn off to the right quick. So whether the Department of Transportation believes my story or not, but so.
Well, you know what?
The good thing is I had enough cash where I was able to pay for it on the spot, which was good.
Right. But this happened to me on the turnpike near Philly. Oh boy, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago. My son Dan was going to get married. He's going to get married, and his fiance, they had the wedding shower for her down in the Philadelphia area. So, in fact, this was, 2012, so it's 5 years ago. And I go down. I drove her down with the idea I would drop her off, and then I would meet Dick Girardi, and Dick and I were going to go over to Parks, over the track. So I go over there. Dick and I have a great time at the track. He took me all over the place. I had a long talk with Keith Jones, the track announcer, who's an awesome guy, great pro, much tougher job than I have when I call games. Really, he does. I mean, the pressure, when money's on the line like that, the pressure to be right, and it's a fresh set of horses out there every single time, every single day, that's not easy. He's really good. So I have a great time. So I get the phone call, hey, it's all breaking up now, can you come back and get us? I said, sure. So I, hey, Dick, take care. I remember Pat Chambers called us both at one point, and we kind of talked to him. We're standing in the paddock. I go to get her. Well, I pick her up, and now it's time to get on the turnpike. So I'm going along, and there's this entrance to the turnpike. So I go and I get on the entrance of the turnpike. Guess what isn't at the entrance of the turnpike? A toll booth. There's no toll booth. So I'm like, there's got to be some point where I pick up a ticket here, right? I went all the way to Harrisburg. And I explained to him, I said, well, how'd you get on? You had to lost your ticket? I said, no, I got on. I said where I got on. And the guy looks at me and goes, really? I said, yeah. Now, I had to pay a small little extra, but it was near Philly. I think it would be past Valley Forge. It was past Valley Forge. And, you know, it's the first time I'd ever been to this particular area before. And I said, you know, Pennsylvania Turnpike, boom, pulled on, like, going, where's the booth? Oh, this isn't good. This isn't good at all. So, you know, if you had been more aggressive, you could have avoided the fine. Mine was just completely, I was totally innocent, as opposed to you, who obviously tried to scam the system.
Oh, here we go.
I told you were hanging out with the suit too much. I told you that. That's something the suit would do. I mean, the suit is a two-legged scam.
He's Mr. Easy Pass.
Well, I'm telling you right now, there's a certain fraternity at Albright's about to find out. I mean, look, you can't abuse our pledges. Only we can abuse our pledges.
Yeah, I told him my Easy Pass story from yesterday. He goes, boy, you haven't been down there in like 3 years. And I go, yeah, I didn't know that lane existed last time I was down there. So I'm working for free the rest of the week to pay off my fine.
Totally understand that. Those fines are steep. What is it, about $5,000-$6,000? Oh, stop laughing. What do they do with the 5 cents? That's what I want to know.
That's what I was wondering too. Well, you know, it's not, why can you $49.95 or just making it even 50? So.
Yeah, but you'd complain even more if it was an even 50.
Oh, I would.
I really.
They didn't give me back any change.
Yeah, we're counting down now. Less than 4 weeks now. We got 27 days of the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Get a hold of Y. Find out, you know, hey, can you get your foursome in there? Be great. Morning and afternoon flights. We'll be in the morning flight. They always put us there. Yeah, the theory is that by putting us in the morning, I can do the show in the afternoon at the country club. I also think because there are fewer foursomes, they think there's a safety factor involved. All right, the Phillies are losing. The suit has already given up on the season.
Not quite, but he's getting there.
But the good news is when Ryan Howard signed with Atlanta today, a minor league contract, he signed autographs for all the kids. Can't put a price on that one, can you? Made sure every kid was taken care of with an autograph. Pretty good, huh? Special kids down in Atlanta.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. The Sunbury Motors Kia Rivers 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today on this Thursday. Time now for this day in sports history. We got to bring the suit back in the studio for this emotional moment. A day that ruined sports forever. 1896, the first modern Olympic Games began in Athens. This is not now. You have an entire group in Switzerland that like tries to fleece cities out of cash. You know what? We ought to have him cover the Olympics in South Korea. Kind of a calm area of the world right now, right?
I would think so, sure.
Yeah, sure. It'd be great. Yeah.
Last I checked, the North Koreans, they're testing missiles, but they're aiming them in a different direction. I think we're good. We're fine.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we can go up there and sell them some digital medium. All right. 1970, Bobby Orr, the Bruins, became the first defenseman to win the NHL scoring title. 1973, President Richard Nixon threw out the first pitch of the season at a California Angels game. It was the first time a U.S. president had performed the ceremonial activity in a city other than Washington, D.C. Now, I watched this fight pay-per-view, 1987, and I thought it was a great fight. That's why I can't possibly take myself. I think I'll go watch Pacquiao and Mayweather. Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to watch boxing's first ever no-hitter. I don't know about you. Sugar Ray Leonard, in 1987, took the middleweight title away from Marvin Hagler. Now, that was a great fight. I mean, you know where Leonard was brilliant? He was coming back from, what, detached retina surgery? And he would, you know, bob and weave and dance and do a great job of slipping punches for the first 2 minutes, 2:15 of the round. And then Leonard would put on a flurry in the final 30 to 45 seconds of every round. In other words, here's the last impression I'm going to give you of the day of the fight. The last impression I'm going to give you every round before you decide who won it, I'm going to give you the last impression. It was brilliant. And he won in a decision. 1997, Mario Lemieux of the Penguins announced that he would retire from the National Hockey League following the playoffs of that season. He would then go on to save the franchise in 2007 because in 2007, the offer to go to Kansas City was very, very well organized and very, very serious. It led to the Penguins eventually getting Consol Energy Center, which is that, what, PPG Place? I think something like that. Never been to a hockey game there. I've done a couple basketball games in there. I like the building. Very, very nice. The Phillies have been losing today. The Masters continuing on today as well. Dustin Johnson has pulled out. You know, he slipped on the stairs and he fell down yesterday. Went to the range, tried to go at it today, and just had to walk off the tee. Couldn't do it. It's a shame. He was the pre-tournament favorite going in. Matthew Fitzpatrick, the leader, 3 under par, now playing 17. One shot better than Justin Rose and William McGirt. Ricky Fowler, Jason Duffner, Bill Haas in a group at 1 under par, and Mickelson has birdied 13. He's back to even. Three shots back. Sergio Garcia, even par, playing the front. He's now in the par 5 eighth. People who love golf love the Masters. As we're sitting here on a rainy day here in the Valley, and the possibility of some snow showers tomorrow. And then we, of course, flip the switch. It's going to be 75 on Monday. In fact, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are supposed to be beautiful days.
Just from what I heard this morning, the start of the Masters down there in Augusta is pretty cold. I guess in the 40s for those that had the 8, 9, 10 a.m. starts.
Right, it did along the way. So it did. It was chilly by their standards. Wind has been a problem today, so that's been an issue so far. But you still sit there and turn on the television set looking at the rain and maybe even looking at some snow showers tomorrow, and you see this bright green expanse across your television set. azaleas and dogwoods in bloom. The suit used to do that all the time. It's like,
That's one of the first things he told me when he take over the show. Here's where you can find the Masters music.
It's great to have you with us. Dustin Johnson is gone. The ceremonial first shots were fired this morning off the tee by Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player as they hung Arnold Palmer's green jacket over an empty chair today in tribute to the king who passed away last year. So far here at the tournament, friends, the story has been Matthew Fitzpatrick along with Justin Rose. Fitzpatrick's now playing 17. He's at 3 under par. At one point in the round today, 5 under had been the lead. But that is now come and gone. Phil Mickelson, 3 times Master Champion, is now just 2 shots back after his birdie at 16, the par 3 over the water. And of course, Jordan Spieth, Masters Champion from 2015 and had the opportunity to slip by a year ago, has played his round today. It's also great to see my personal friend and former University of Houston roommate Fred Couples playing well again at the age of 200. And defending champion Danny Willett so far at 1 over par, now playing the 11th hole as he now gets to Amen Corner. Hello, friends, and welcome. Along with Sir Nick, Fern Lundquist, and absent of Gary McCord, who once again is banned from the course, it's great to be with you. Is that good enough?
Walk off. Awesome. I mean, for all those years, you would, you know, you'd have the great debate, Tiger versus the field. So then I would think, okay, now we got to modify it. We could go Johnson, Spieth, McIlroy versus the field.
Except those three have combined for 1.
Right.
I mean, really? When you look at Nicklaus, Palmer, and Player, they combined for 13. Pretty spectacular. All right. The Pirates today were rained out in their game against the Red Sox. Are going to make it up next Thursday at Fenway, so the Pirates will open tomorrow when they take on the Braves at PNC Park, weather permitting. The Reds have beaten the Phillies 7-4. Kansas City and Minnesota 3-3, bottom of the 7th. Colorado leads Milwaukee 1-0, top of the 7th. Cardinals lead the Cubs 4-2 in the bottom of the 6th. The White Sox lead Detroit 5-1 in the bottom of the 3rd. The Dodgers lead San Diego 2-0, top of the 3rd. Angels and Oakland scoreless in the top of the 1st inning. And I'll get everybody up to date on what's going on with that. So the opening round of the Masters underway, and Dustin Johnson did pull out today. Too much pain, couldn't do it. Could not do it. Ryan Howard has signed a minor league contract with the Braves and I guess made a substantial donation to Albright College. I'm just kidding. And Kevin Durant's going to return for the Warriors on Saturday when they take on the New Orleans Pelicans. And the Reds say that they are alarmed by a banned prospect's apparent use of drug use on Snapchat on a video. When are people going to understand how careful you have to be with social media these days? I mean, you really have to be careful. You have to be really careful when it comes to how you use the 140 characters, or if you're going to do Snapchat, or if you're going to do Periscope or something like that. what goes into one's mind when you do something like that? I mean, why do you post that video? Are you trying to commit professional suicide? I mean, I'm talking about professional suicide. I mean, that's sad. The Mid-American Conference only wants to, will not play a single football game on a Saturday in November. We'll tell you about it in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to satisfy the most discerning buyer by making American luxury affordable. If you're looking for a midsize SUV, the Lincoln MKX has to be on your list. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has the 2017 Lincoln MKX all-wheel drive starting at $38,016 after $1,000 retail premium bonus cash. Plus, well-qualified buyers can get 0% financing for 60 months with Lincoln Automotive Financial Services. You can choose from 12 MKXs in stock now. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 5 2017 Lincoln Continental in stock, ready for the test drive of your life. The 2017 Continental won the coveted 2017 AutoGuide.com Reader's Choice Luxury Car of the Year Award. Sunbury Motors has a 2017 Continental with an MSRP of $48,315, discounted to $46,315. Now is the time to see why more people are realizing they can move up to a brand new Lincoln from Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Great to have you with us. There's nothing like a high school football game on a Friday night, college football game on a Saturday, and then the pros play on Sunday. We talked about that on yesterday's show for a period of time. Now try this out. The Mid-American Conference, in the month of November, is going to abandon completely Saturday. The MAC will play a full schedule of Saturday games on Saturday, October 21st. They have one Saturday game scheduled on October 28th, Akron and Buffalo. That's it. So the last full Saturday that the MAC will play a full schedule on Saturday with six games on the schedule will be October 21st. The MAC will play 12 games on Tuesday in November, 7 on Wednesday, and 4 on Thursday, 3 more on Friday. Monday night's off limits, Monday night football. Sunday, of course, is out. And Saturday is the odd day out. The big problem for the MAC? No bargaining power to keep the games on Saturday in November. You need to fit a TV schedule. They don't fit. So they're going to play their games in November on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and a few on Friday. So for the MAC, the divide between the haves, the Power Five, and the have-nots has become greater. Texas, Georgia, Florida. Well, guess what? Some people want to watch a football game on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And you also notice that the onslaught of November games, where it's on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, begins right after the World Series is over with. But here is a conference. Not a major conference, but it's a well-known conference that has looked at the landscape and said, look, if we're going to get any publicity, we've got to carve out our own nights and our own niche. No Saturday games in November in the MAC. Zero. There's no doubt they have a struggling product. I think one of the areas that the MAC dreads is this. It's that moment where, look, it is not a gotcha shot, but it's an establishing shot. You're trying to show an establishing shot of the stadium, the scenic, whatever. And that's the one that the MAC during the middle of the week dreads, because every time they do that, you look out, there's hardly anybody there. It looks like friends and family night at the ballpark. Now, is the MAC contract important to ESPN? Let's face it, not particularly. You give them a chance to put on a game in a Power 5 game versus Kent State versus Akron. I mean, Kent State-Akron's not going to win. So when a network is looking for middle-of-the-week inventory in November, they're willing to provide it. Now, you would think that this would be a great time to have this happen based on what has gone on the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. Northern Illinois getting to the Orange Bowl. Western Michigan this past season, undefeated, getting to the Cotton Bowl, finally losing to Wisconsin. So it's not as if they haven't had a run of some good teams. Northern Illinois has been very good. Western Michigan last year was outstanding. But it's not enough. The Power Five rules this thing. And it shows out in the ratings all the time. You know, this is something the suit and I have talked about and gone round and round, because the suit's all for the little guy all the time. I have zero against the little guy, but I have data that tells me that the American public likes the little guy only in certain circumstances. What got a higher rating? The Rose Bowl, Penn State, USC, or the Cotton Bowl, Wisconsin and Western Michigan? It's not even in the same ballpark. What was the lowest rated major bowl the year Northern Illinois was in the Orange Bowl? The Orange Bowl. We talk about the underdog flourishing in the NCAA tournament. Gonzaga, by the way, does not count because they've been a major player for years, okay? But what's the lowest rated Final Four game over the years? Butler, VCU, two little guys, back to back. And this is, it's just a fact of life. I think everyone finds the upset by the little guy. You know, we're using this in obviously in quotation marks here, to be really great the second it happens. But what people are not enamored with is little guy keep advancing. All right, fine. Where's Duke? I want to see the Duke game. College football, they've done this over the years where they've taken a team. Houston, you know, did a great job. They beat Florida State in the Peach Bowl a couple of years ago. But they've left a spot open for a non-Power 5 team to play in the New Year's Six. That's great. And that game, every single year, is the lowest-rated game of them all. Every year, it's the lowest-rated game. And the team in the New Year's Six that plays them from a Power 5 conference is in an absolutely no-win situation perception-wise. If you do what Wisconsin did last year and beat them, you're like, well, they were expected to be in there, Wisconsin. If you lose to them, like Florida State did to Houston, you're like, the heck's wrong with Florida State? Man alive, what a bad game they played. What about Houston? Yeah, sure. Oh, boy, Florida State must have been bad. You lose the perception game right there. Playing that team doesn't help you. Does not help you. You dread a coach having to coach that game. You got to convince your players to forget the name on the front of the jersey. got to convince them of that. So the MAC in November, no Saturday games. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In fact, they only play one game on Saturday, October 28th. The last full day of MAC Saturday football, Mid-American Conference, will be October 21st. All six games will be played on that Saturday. And again, they're going to play 12 games on a Tuesday, 7 on a Wednesday, 4 on a Thursday, 3 more on a Friday. We'll get into Albright's national television broadcast schedule next half hour.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.